Good morning. This is Tech Talk. Yeah, we've got, as usual, struggle here to get started off in the morning. And I'm trying to make sure that I get this set up right. We've got a special guest in the studio today. Joe, you here?
There he is.
I'm gonna push the microphone right up into his face today, so we make sure we can hear him clearly. Joe Otto, you may remember from a couple of three weeks ago, something like that. And we're gonna do some talking about mobile phones and devices and all that. Joe comes from Verizon. Now you just switched stores that you're working at, though, right?
Yep. Actually, the day before Thanksgiving, I was at the South Elgin store. A little closer to home, and very happy to be there.
Outstanding. That's great. Oh, you know what? This is why I'm having trouble hearing you. I keep pushing the mic in Joe's face, but the problem is on my end. As usual, I'm a big button pusher, but I'm good at pushing the wrong buttons. I think we got it set. Yeah, he was saying he was at the Arlington Heights store. So yeah, so we didn't really get a chance to talk the last time you were on as much as I wanted to. I do want to cover a couple of quick news items and things like that, and absolutely we'll have you part of that. And Jay Garman is going to be with us in just a little bit as well. So yeah, so we got a good show up ahead that'll have some geek trivia, and then what we'll do is we'll try to bring the show back around and really talk a lot about, you know, a lot of people right now are thinking about, is it time to change my provider? Is it time to look at new devices? All this sort of thing. And you can give us some help and advice on that, I think.
It is a season for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Whether you're buying for yourself or for somebody else, this is when we're looking at. But I know the one thing I got to talk about is going to be, of course, all this stuff happening with Sony, Sony Pictures and the movie The Interview. And all of this good stuff, crazy, crazy stuff happening. This last week we talked about it a little bit, and I had made the comment that, this was a North Korean thing and all this. And I actually got a couple of emails from people saying, hey, don't jump on that boat. Right now, nobody really knows. As it turns out, this last couple of days, the FBI has come out and said they believe pretty strongly that it's... And now, of course, we're hearing that Sony has decided they're not going to release The Interview. They're not going to have it available at the theaters for the December 25th, Christmas Day release. And I don't even know. What do you think? I'm going to put it on Joe because I don't even know what to say. I have some ideas, but I'd be very curious here. What do you think of this, Joe? Is this a movie you would have gone to see anyways?
Absolutely. Yeah, I was actually a little disappointed to hear that Sony decided to pull it. Everything that I had heard about it sounded like it was going to be a real fun movie. That it was going to be something that was just going to be fun to watch. Very humorous, and it seemed like it was going to have kind of a nice lighthearted feel with it as well. It didn't really seem like it was going to be something super political driven, while there still is the undertones of that in there. But yeah. I was disappointed to hear that Sony decided to pull it.
I think it's the same as me. I felt disappointed for a number of reasons. I mean, one, just because now it's not going to be on the theaters, but also, two, of course, because of sort of the implication of it, of saying, hey, you know, if you hack a company and make vague threats after successfully hacking them, they're potentially going to, you know, bow to whatever that pressure is and decide not to do it. And I know, you know, a lot of it, and I've got an interview piece queued up here with the CEO of Sony, Michael Linton. And I'm not going to play it. I don't know if it's as useful as I thought it might be. But just basically, he's just saying that, you know, hey, we didn't cave by scrapping the week's interview, you know, opening of The Interview. And, you know, of course, Barack Obama, President Obama, made some pretty strong worded statements about how he did not agree with their decision.
Yeah.
But, he, you know, the Michael Linton really kind of responded and said that it wasn't, in many cases, the decision that they could make or not, that it was the movie theaters individually that were making this decision, and that that people are I think what he said exactly, in fact, here's the quote, is, "The president, the press, and the public are mistaken about what actually led to their decision to shelve the interview." So I know we're going to talk maybe a little bit about predictions as well for the year 2015, and I've got one right now that I'll throw out there. 1 million January 15th. That's my prediction of number of downloads of the DVD screener for the interview.
That's it.
That's fair. Yeah. If anything, I think that's kind of conservative. 1 million, you know, because of the press here. I think, in fact, I would not hesitate too much to suggest that the interview in 2015 is probably going to be listed on some records as the most watched movie across the globe. And that it'll be the most downloaded movie for 2015, and perhaps even if it's not all that good, it's going to be getting some award buzz, you know.
I would say that you're not even channeling your inner Miss Cleo on that one. I would say that's very realistic.
Yeah. I think we're going to see it's a whole Barbra Streisand effect that North Korea may not be getting the unless that was their intended result. I don't know. Yeah, what I want to hear, you know what? So here's a Miss Cleo prediction is we'll find out. We'll find out in mid 2015 that this was actually engineered by PR at Sony. There we go. How about that? That's going out on a limb. Oh, I hope that's true. That would be cool. That would be fun. But, you know, speaking of hacks, too, I don't know if you heard about this. This is very recent, or relatively recent anyways. But there's been a couple of other hacks, too. Staples just came out. They released 1.6 million credit card numbers and everything else were hacked. Now, they claim, again, as most of these do, that it's not going to have a lot of impact on consumers, that the passwords were all encrypted, so that should be fine, and that, of course, the banks protect people with a lot of these hacks. But also, too, ICANN got hacked as well. So that's the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers. They're the ones that give you, you know, VZWireless, you know, .com. They're the ones that say that's the name for you. You can have it, and they sell it, and all that. They're nonprofit, but they do. That's how they stay afloat. Is they're actually in control of selling that, and so they're in control of that. They got hacked. They got hacked. They, in fact, got hacked into their system by a technique that's called spear phishing. And are you familiar with spear phishing?
Phishing,
PH, phishing.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm thinking in my outdoor time when I'm out in the woods and stuff. A little different on that.
That's way too manly for me. I don't do any of that. No, spear phishing is specifically like I would go and I would figure out who are the people at a company that would have information that I want or would have access to things that I want, and I would send specifically targeted emails to them that I thought might compel them to give me information or to install or click through links that would then install malware and other things that would let me hack them. And that's what happened here, unfortunately. So this is really an education issue in a lot of these companies, is identifying and being aware of this type of tactic for releasing information. And people should be aware of this in general. We see a lot of malware and a lot of spam emails and a lot of things like this that are put on to us just with these very general ones that are so easy to figure out. You know, look at, you know, the Crown Prince of Nigeria says, "I need a place to hold $75 million. I'll give you 10%. Most of us are pretty...
I only had to hold it for a week, so yeah. It was fine.
You had to send that registered check, though, beforehand, right? Yeah.
It's a good return on investment.
Absolutely. And in fact, I've heard tell that there's a reason those are so easy to discern, is that they don't want people like you or me clicking through necessarily, that the more gullible you are, that's who they're looking for. They want it, you know, badly spelled, clearly a scam, but if you're still I hate to say it, but dumb enough to click through that link. That's, you're exactly who they want. Because guess what? They got 10 other scams they're going to throw it at you too.
Oh, yeah.
So, but this is different from that. This is more along the lines of a, you know, very clever, very targeted attack. We're seeing stuff like this. It's getting easier and easier to pull stuff like that together. Emails that look like they're from your bank or that are from supposedly from FedEx. You know, this is the time of year where you start seeing a lot of emails that look like they're from FedEx or UPS, and it says, hey, we had a package, tried to drop it off, no one was home. Click this link to tell us when to deliver this package. Be very, very careful with those links. I always hover, you know, do the old hover trick and yeah. take a look and see, is it actually going to UPS.com or not? And you know, just you got to be aware. Got to be wary of this stuff. And the one last hack thing I'm going to do before we try to get our good friend Jay Garman in here, too. I don't know if you've heard of this either, Joe. This is something that's been around for a while now, but is Microsoft is actually aggressively going after scammers who phone people up pretending to be support staff from Microsoft. Yeah.
I have heard of that. It was probably about a year ago. I had a customer that had a device, and they were receiving calls like that, and they were trying to figure out what we could do to help them with it. And as more and more we did some digging on it, we realized it's not necessarily on the up and up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have a close friend too who had the same thing happen. Her older lady had the same thing happen to her, having problems with her computer. And she did not get a call out of the blue. This was one. It was really bad. It was really creepy. Where she had called into, I want to say it might be HP, and the individual at HP was one of these people and kind of redirected her to a scam person. And the technique that's used, whether they call you or you're calling in, is that the idea is that they'll say, you know, we've detected that you have malware or viruses or something on your computer, and that's what's causing the problems that you have. I can fix that for you. Let me log into your computer remotely. Would you install this TeamViewer or something along those lines? There's a lot of programs you can use to access remotely. Mm-hmm. They get in there, and then there's a couple things that they'll do. One would be they may charge you up front. They may say, hey, you know, give me X dollars, and then I'll log in and help you. That should be your first clue. Microsoft is not going to call you and try to charge you to help fix your computer. This is not going to happen. The second thing that will happen is they're going to want to take over that remote access to your computer. Microsoft, again, is not really going to do that. They're not in the business of doing that. And what happens then when they do access your computer is, in fact, many cases, that's when they will install malware. Yeah. And, of course, that leads into those hostage situations, you know, where they hold your data and your PC hostage. And so they'll install stuff that will encrypt your hard drive and then say, you know what? I can fix this for you, but it's gonna cost you
for the low price of $19.95 for the next 7 years of your life.
Exactly. So just, you know, a little holiday warning. You know, anytime there's activity like this, you got to be aware of it and just be careful. Use common sense, people. That's the bottom line. Speaking of a guy with a lot of common sense, let's see if we can get our good friend Jay Garman on here, and then we're going to talk mobile. And I told Jay already, I said we're going to do our trivia stuff. We're going to try not to keep him on the phone for a long time, because we do want to get in and start talking about how to choose that mobile device for yourself over the holiday season. So that's always a good sign when we get the ringing.
Hello.
And there he is. Good morning, Mr. Garman. How you doing, sir?
Not too bad. How's Chicago treating you guys?
Pretty good. Pretty good, Joe. We got Joe Otto here from Verizon. And, it's cold, though, Jay. I'm unhappy with, once again, the coming of winter. This is does not make me happy.
Well, I mean, aren't you used to it? You're from Minnesota. Even Chicago winters have to be mild compared to the homeland.
Well, this is true. This is true. As a matter of fact, I still remember my first winters in Chicago, and just I kept going, when is it going to start? It's December. It's January. When does winter start here? I couldn't understand it. I can't complain. I can't complain. Absolutely. As I get older, though, I guess I get a little less tolerant of it. I was gonna ask you, Jay, really quickly. We were just, of course, talking about the huge news in the world right now with the Sony issue and the interview and how that is now being held from release and all that. But BitTorrent has offered to Sony that they'll front the interview release for them through the internet and work out a way to charge for that legally. I made the prediction that we're going to have a million illegal downloads of the screener for the interview. I was guessing by January 15th, but I don't know what. What's your thinking on how this is going to roll out?
Well, here's what's amazing to me is that they couldn't guard their own passwords, but they somehow stopped this movie from getting out. Like, how did that happen?
That's a really good point, actually. And it's one of the movies that was not taken by the hackers. They got four unreleased movies, including Still Alice and the new Annie. And I can't remember what the other two were.
I read something about them nabbing the script for what they were talking about. Like, would be the new Bond movie.
Oh, yeah. They got you're right. They got the screenplay for that, but not the movie itself, of course, because it hasn't finished production. But they didn't get they didn't get the interview. I don't know what they would have done with it. I guess they wouldn't have released it because they don't want people to see it. Yeah. But yeah. So it. I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to see, how I cannot imagine in a million years that it's not somehow going to be viewable by people in 2015.
Well, I don't care how good the hackers are for North Korea, assuming it really is North Korea. I promise you, there's somebody out there in a college dorm room in the United States like, I want to see this movie, and I'm going to go find it, and it's going to happen. And you're just not going to stop me.
Yep. Yep. Although it's going to be just a little bit tougher now with the Pirate Bay. The Pirate Bay is down, and it's in fact I haven't checked recently, but I assume it's still down because I would have expected to see it notice that it had come back up. Yeah, and no, I'm checking right now. It's still down. The Pirate Bay, of course, being one of the best known torrent distribution servers in the world, and they had gone through their share of legal issues and so on, and then finally, just about a week ago or so, they actually got completely taken down. Not that there's, and I'm not going to list them, but not that there's nowhere else on the web to find illegal torrents, but the Pirate Bay was certainly one of the most prolific and long-lived ones out there.
It was convenient. You always started your search there if you wanted something that wasn't supposed to be released yet. It's always there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think within like 24 hours, literally all the data that was ever indexed at the Pirate Bay was mirrored on four different sites immediately.
Yep.
So, yes, they have inconvenienced illegal downloads. They have to go to like the second or third entry on their bookmark list now as opposed to just going to that one and stopping.
That's exactly. And I mean, and of course Google is very friendly in that you can just type in stuff and with .torrent, or something, and it'll figure out where you can get that from anyways. So it's interesting. I had expected it to die, of course, as many people did a while ago, and then the founder of Pirate Bay was on the lam, literally. He had escaped prosecution, but then got picked up and arrested in Thailand. So this isn't shocking, but there it is. There it is, I guess. I do want us to move along quickly today, Jay. I'm not sure. I guess we're going to have one more show before the New Year's. But I was starting to ask people what if they had one major prediction in tech for 2015, what that might be. I don't know if you had one on tap. If not, we'll I'll bug you again for it in a week.
I do, actually, and it's kind of in the wake of this whole interview mess. I think we're actually going to see a push for a closer windowing or an original release of Hollywood Pictures on on-demand, television on-demand, either through Netflix or Hulu or through the cable providers as an on-demand or Amazon Prime, like in a simultaneous release that way with the theaters or instead of in the theaters. In fact, I would not be surprised if Sony, after having been called to task by the president, doesn't go and walk over the street to Netflix and say, all right, if you make this available for $20 a download, we'll give it to you right now. And I think that's actually going to become the modus operandi of other films intentionally in the next year.
Yep.
Steven Soderbergh tried this and didn't really work, but I think that's going to become more mainstream next year, if for no other reason than the marketing folks have been screaming for years and years and years, and we're saying, everyone go see this movie, go see this movie, go see this movie. Now is the perfect time to have them in the theaters and sell the DVDs and sell the rentals all at once. Mm-hmm. When the marketing push is the biggest, that's the best time to have this thing on demand. I really want to go see The Interview, but it's cold outside. Oh, I can download it, but I have to pay theater prices?
Yep.
I'm lazy, but I have disposable income. Okay.
Well, and I know we've talked about this a little bit, and I firmly am in the camp that believes that having that ability to download or access those movies from your home is not going to cannibalize dramatically the in-theater viewing population. I mean, perhaps a bit, but I think that it's going to more than make up for whatever losses you would see there.
I would agree. As long as if they price it theater competitive, if while it's in theaters, the on-demand price or the download price is $25 or $30.
Yeah.
You know, then it's okay. Then it becomes this weird thing. Like, I could go to the theater and see it for $12.
Yep. Well, and that's.
I'll put up with teenagers to save $18.
Yeah.
But, or, you know, but if you're a guy like me and I go and see, like, the next Captain America film and I love it, I'm going to walk out of that theater and I'm going to be on my phone going, this has to go in the Amazon Cloud collection right now.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. And I think that's the kind of thing that would start happening, is that people would still go to see the movie in the theater, but then would be like, oh yeah, I gotta have my wife see this. I gotta have somebody else see that who isn't gonna go out to the theater to watch it, or have it in my personal collection. Or you know, and the other thing too that occurred to me, I've got a 14-year-old now, or 15-year-old. I have a 15-year-old now. He just turned 15. So we had a little get together, a bunch of kids over. That would have been a perfect situation to say, okay, we're not going to take everybody out to a theater, but I'll pay the $25 for let's watch Divergent or something like that, and throw that up on the screen for them, at home. But it'll be interesting to see. I think that's a reasonable prediction, Jay, as I would have expected from you. And the FCC is talking about some of this stuff now, and in fact, Sony and Dish have both been working on their own net video services that would be OTT, you know, over the top on that, which would be distributed directly through internet service as opposed to via the cable gateways. So I think, I can't argue with you. Well, let's move on. Let's do our geek trivia from last week and think about for next week, and we'll move us along. We got a lot of mobile stuff to talk about. I felt so badly last week. Last time we had Joe on, we got so involved in some of this discussion that we never got to talk mobile stuff. So I want to make sure we don't miss on that. Customer Jones did have a response to last week's trivia, so I can't wait to find out if she's right.
All right, well, the question was, when Experimental Breeder Reactor 1 went online outside Boise, Idaho, 63 years ago today, December 20th, 1951, it had been active since August, but it was the first time any atomic reactor had actually harvested electricity, would use to generate power. And the question was, how much power did it generate in its first harvest, and how did they know it? Mm. It generated a little over 800 watts of electricity, and they knew that because they hooked it up to four 200-watt light bulbs.
and they turned on. I take it.
Yeah, I think this works. This is the least efficient lit-in room in the history of the world. to be fair, EBR was not designed to harvest electricity. It was designed to breed fissile material. It was a breeder reactor meant to turn fissile material into more fissile material. Because they didn't think there was a lot of uranium around in those days. They didn't realize they could mine it so easily or enrich it so easily, so they had to make it through fission. through fission byproducts. That's what it was designed for. And the next day, they did crank the power up and actually lit the whole building off of the reactor. And it was just a year later that the Borax 3 reactor in nearby Argo, Idaho, actually powered the whole town.
Okay.
So it wasn't – they didn't know how to do it. They were just very cautious. Like, we're pretty sure this is going to work, but this is nuclear energy. Let's start with, like, 4 light bulbs and see how it goes.
Yeah, well, and that's reasonable. And that must have – I mean, you think about it. Yeah, it's only 4 light bulbs, and it seems strange. But you think about the excitement in that room, waiting and watching for those bulbs to light up. And then when they all do, it must have been like the moon landing. You know, I can just imagine. It must have been incredibly exciting to see that come to fruition.
It kind of reminds me of the movie What About Bob? Just taking baby steps.
That's it, baby steps. That's exactly right.
Well, and it's funny you mentioned the moon landing, because it being Christmas week, I always do an Apollo 8 trivia question. I've done it like 3 years running. I'm not going to skip it now.
Oh, right.
So for those that haven't been listening in years past, Apollo 8 was the only manned space mission that took place over the Christmas holiday, unless you count the mission to reach people on space stations and leave them there. So Apollo 8 circled the moon on Christmas Eve, 1968. Famously, they read from the Book of Genesis as one of the most watched television broadcasts in the history of the world.
Hmm.
And it was a record that didn't last that long, because it was broken 9 months later when people actually landed on the moon. Apollo 8 just orbited the moon. But the question is, what percentage of the world's population tuned in for the Apollo 8 Christmas Eve broadcast in orbit of the moon?
Ooh. Oh, wow. Oh, that's a great question.
That is good.
Man. And will it compare to the percentage of the globe that watches the interview? Man, no, that's a great question, and I'm guessing our last couple of trivia questions have been on the very low end of the spectrum, where we're talking about how much power did the first nuclear plant produce, and how much bandwidth was the first router capable of managing. You know, so this is going to be, I am expecting, on the high end of the range of numbers. So that's
cool. The number will surprise you, but I want you to bear in mind that the broadcast was not permitted anywhere on the Soviet side of the Iron Curtain. And it was 1968. Not everyone had television.
Mm.
So when I reveal the number next week and you factor those two things in, it is staggering.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. I can't wait. That'll be cool. Let me see. We're going to be talking next on the 27th. So, yes, it'll be after Christmas and all that. So it'll be perfect timing for the answer on that, too, and all that. So very, very cool. Well, Jay, and speaking of which, since we're not going to talk to you probably between now and in Christmas, have a wonderful winter break and holiday celebrations, and we'll hope you have a great time with friends and family, and pick up and talk to you next week.
Back at you, buddy. Best to you, Mary, and the kids, and have a happy holiday.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Have a great week. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Jay Garman. That's jaygarman.net. You can always get more stuff from him there. Awesome stuff. That's a great question. I want to know now.
I was just thinking the same thing. I was like, I gotta know.
I don't want to wait on that. That's not fair. But it wouldn't be fair to Joe. We got to talk about some of this stuff too. So you know what I'm going to do here? So we're right at the mid of the hour. I am going to drop us out for just a moment here. We're going to do what we're supposed to do every week: get some legal IDs, a couple of promos and spots, and good stuff. I'm going to mention to people it is that season of giving. This is a volunteer radio station. We do everything as volunteers, as community radio station. If you like or enjoy or just want to support that voice of the community, please do keep us in mind. If you go to WRLR.fm, it's very, very, very easy. You can donate anytime there. Every donation as well is tax deductible. So this is a great time to do that. Now, I know that we've also got our Radiothon has been going on in the past. I don't know if it's officially still going or not. I'm looking at our documentation here right now just to make sure. I tell you what I will do. So if you go and I'll put up on the Tech Talk WRLR.fm page a link to the Tech Talk CrowdRise fundraiser. If you donate there, I will make sure, I will fight for you to make sure that it's honored, that if you've donated $25 there, you're going to get a WRLR t-shirt. If you donate $50, you will get a WRLR baseball hat and t-shirt. And if you do $150 or more, that's $150 or more, you get your own hour to broadcast any music you want to, any music and messages you want to give. So, like I said, make sure you donate that and support us, and we would love it. Every little bit helps, though. I'm going to give us some of those spots and things. Stay tuned. We're going to be back in less than five with Joe Otto. We're going to tell you exactly what you should be thinking about if you're considering making an investment in some mobile devices this season. All right. You're listening to Tech Talk on WRLR.
You're listening to 98.3 FM, WRLR LP, Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
Mott's Italian Ovens is a proud sponsor of the 2014 GEO Awards at WRLR Radio. People come from miles around to Mott's Italian Ovens. Mott's serves Italian beef and pizzas, both with provolone cheese. Their party pizza is 26 by 18 inches and feeds up to 10 people. Mott's Italian Ovens is located in the Coming Quarter Frost and Shopping Center on Route 83 near Love and Oven Cakery. Their hours are 11 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. 7 days a week with catering offered. Ron's number is 847-231-6269. Their website is ronsitalianovens.com. The law firm of McGee, Egley, and Associates is located in Round Lake and provides legal services for Round Lake, Lake County, and surrounding areas. Their attorneys advise clients in the areas of bankruptcy, foreclosure defense, real estate law, litigation, and general practice matters. The law firm of McGee, Egley, and Associates is located at 444 North Cedar Lake Road in Round Lake. Their website is www.mcgeeegley.com. Their phone number is 847-546-0055. Miyako Incorporated in Lake Villa reminds listeners that every day our troops demonstrate their dedication to our nation. Now is the time for us to return that favor. Hire our returning veterans as well as those who have served in the past. After investing their lives in our nation, they deserve our investment in them. This message is from Miyako Incorporated in Lake Villa. They can be reached at 847-265-7400. Be smart. Hire a vet.
Listen to the sounds of Soul Sweet and receive a weekly dose of a musical revolution. I am your sweet lady. Join me every Wednesday night from 7 to 9 p.m. as I introduce to you the latest sounds of independent soul music, interview the legends of soul music, and interesting people you should know about. I promise it'll be a stone gas.
Every Saturday from 8 to 10 a.m. for a comprehensive look at what's happening in the world of sports. They'll cover national news and sports as well as professional, college, and Lake County High School sports every week on the show. Got questions or comments? Email them at sportscorner@wrlr.fm. So join Pat and Rusty every Saturday from 8 to 10 a.m. for the Sports Corner right here on 98.3 FM WRLR.
And we're back. I wasn't sure if we were going to be back or not. Here we go. Yes, we are back. This is Tech Talk on WRLR. You're listening to us, 98.3 LPFM in Round Lake Heights, Illinois. And I've got Joe Otto here from Verizon, and we are going to start talking about some things that you can do with your mobile devices this Christmas season, but also, too, if you're thinking about looking at a new phone or other device, this is a good time to do it. Obviously, whether it's for yourself or for somebody else, it makes a lot of sense now to do that. Of course, there's a lot of deals going on, a lot of things happening in the stores and all that. And one of the toughest things, though, I think, to do, and the one thing I know we absolutely wanted to talk about, was trying to figure out, you know, if you're not quite sure whether it is for yourself or someone else, how do you kind of start going through the process of figuring out, gosh, do I really need to drop, you know, three bills on, on the fanciest, newest, biggest flash thing? Or am I okay with you know, some of the other ones, or you know, what sort of specs do make a difference for people? And I guess one thing I wanted to ask you just right out the bat is, you know, when someone walks into your store and says, "I don't know what to get, but I know I need a new phone," what are some of the things you ask them to start figuring out what they're going to be happy with?
So honestly, those are some of my favorite customers that I've ever worked with, because they're an open book and they don't have really any kind of preconceived notions about it. So they're open, because there are a ton of different options out there. I mean, just
yeah.
And it's understandable that sometimes it can be difficult to figure out what's going to be the best one. The biggest thing that I've always worked with people on is, what do you do? What do you do for fun?
Yeah.
What do you want to get out of this device? Because when you boil it down, functionally, all the smartphones technically do all of the same things. You know, you have apps, you have email, you have your internet access. It takes pictures. Oh, and it makes phone calls too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the bells and whistles. It's the better camera quality. It's the longer battery life. It's the bigger screen. It's the smaller screen. It's all of those things that are going to make one be a better fit for somebody than another. And that's why when you walk into, you know, really any wireless store, but primarily a Verizon store, you're going to see tons and tons of different options. And sometimes, understandably, it can be intimidating for the customers. And that's why we're there to kind of guide them through it. So the first thing I always ask them, because nowadays the phone is the phone, but then there's also all the other things that it does. So
yeah.
I just ask them very simply, tell me about the top three or four things that you do with your phone that's not a call or a text message.
Because
a basic phone will do those kind of things. We want to get into the other things that are really going to kind of enhance somebody's life.
Yep, yep.
And those things are going to kind of guide us through what's going to be important. So when we make a recommendation, it's one that someone's going to be happy with, and they don't feel like they just kind of got thrown into something. It's, hey, this is actually going to be the right device for me.
And what is the usual answer when you ask? I mean, what do you hear the most frequently when you say, what do you do with your phone today other than call and text?
Honestly, the most frequent one is internet. So we usually have to expand
surfing,
on it a little
bit.
Now that things like streaming music, because I know it's something that you say that you do quite a bit, and the access to video, like movie interview or whatnot, are more readily available on mobile devices. We're seeing more and more of that. It's not just a communication device anymore. It's a lifestyle device.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest things we've been noticing as well, and you're starting to see it integrated in the actual devices themselves, is tracking health and fitness.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Especially during the holidays. Some people say it's the holidays, the calories don't count. Not always true. I'm not sure about the science behind
that one.
So we're starting to see more and more of that integrated into it. And those are the kind of things that we try to figure out when somebody comes in.
Mm-hmm.
What's important to you? What are you trying to achieve here? And sometimes if somebody does need a more advanced device, then that's the direction we point them. And sometimes they don't need something that's quite that powerful, quite that advanced. Then we get them into something that's a little more simple. The biggest thing that I always recommend to people is, of course, purchase within your means, but don't necessarily scrimp, especially if you're going to go with a phone on a two-year contract. Now there's a lot of options on how you can choose to buy a phone, and especially with Verizon, it's based on how your account is set up in terms of what's a better option. You know, we have our installment program, which we call the Edge program, which is no contract. People break down the price of the phone into monthly payments. We give them a discount on the monthly service because we're not subsidizing a device. So because we're not given that discount, we don't have to charge as much on the service. It gives them the ability to upgrade sooner, so it's not as big of a focus, but if people are still going to get it with a two-year contract, you're going to have that phone for 2 years.
Yeah.
And the last thing we want is in 6 months for that person to come in and say, this isn't doing it for me.
Yep.
This is absolutely not what I needed. So sometimes if it fits in the budget, spend an extra $50 or $100 to get something that's actually going to fit your needs and going to serve you well is important, especially as these new software versions come out. The easiest way I know how to describe it to people, especially some people that don't necessarily have a tech background, is for all intents and purposes, the brain of the phone is the processor. And when the phone first comes out, that brain basically tests it into algebra.
Mm-hmm.
That's the software that's on it. Well, 6 months down the road, new software comes on. Welcome to Calculus AP. it's going to be able to keep up on certain things. It's going to struggle with others, just like your brain would if you were in that same situation. If you've got a more powerful brain, it can handle it better, which means that device is going to serve you better for a longer period of time, and you're actually going to truly enjoy it.
Yeah. And things are changing rapidly. I mean, you know, we were talking before the show even started. You know, I think I'm a little bit of a tough user to pick out a phone for, because I know, you know, I'm locked into Android, and because I'm just so Google. I'm just all about Google. But, you know, I do a lot of music streaming. But I don't do video streaming,
you know,
at least not on my phone. I'm just not one of those guys that does, for whatever reason. So, you know, it's like I want the some of the higher end specs, but I don't need like the suit, like a note, you know, souped up video display and all that. But then on the, you know, the flip side is kind of, you know, like my wife or even my mom or dad, who they use some of the features and functions of a smartphone with the email and occasional web surf.
Yeah,
but they don't even they don't need the music. You know, they don't need a lot of the stuff that I would feel crippled by if if I didn't have access to it.
Yeah. And again, that goes back to why we have so many different options. But whether you get an entry-level type of device or a super advanced device, some of those features are going to be there. The biggest thing on it is making sure that it's got that longevity for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen a lot of people who will only go for the free phone. Now, the free phone isn't always a bad decision. Sometimes there are phones that are free because of a promo, and they're a fantastic device. Or sometimes if it's kid's first phone.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
10 years old, you know, they want to be able to have access to certain things. A lot of the schools are actually encouraging children to actually use those smartphones to look things up in class.
Yep.
But they don't necessarily need something as advanced as a Note 4 or something like that, or the G3 or anything. It's a good starter phone. It has a little bit lower price, so something happens to it, because kids aren't always the most delicate. Well, I guess people in general
I was going to say, you can't just say kids. Yeah, yeah. I think everybody's my wife's phone has got cracks all over the side of it, so I gotta tread carefully with this. You know, and that's a really good point, too. You know, is that there are the different types of phones that people can get. I think maybe sometimes we do, we hear so much about all the cool phones and the newest devices that are coming out and all that. And that's one thing I do want to talk about a little bit, though, too, is, you know, that is, I know, for me anyways, when I look at a phone, you know, I'm definitely on that other side of the things that's, you know, where, oh my gosh, I want whatever the best I can possibly afford is. That's I'm going for it, and all that. And so, and I've had the opportunity. It's been great. LG has provided me a phone to test out, and also too, Verizon has provided me a phone to test out as well and compare. Verizon gave me the HTC and HTC One, and then LG, I got the LG G3. And so these are both great phones. You know, they're really, really fun. They're good. The HTC is a cool phone. I like it a lot. It's very comfortable if you're used to like a Samsung Galaxy, the form factor, the size of it. It's, if anything, a little bit lighter, but it's more powerful even than the S4. It's got a better camera and some other features to it. The G3, though, just rocks. It's very fast, very powerful. It's got a couple little quirks. One is that the LG has the volume controls and power control on the back of it, which at first I was shaking my head and going, what? But once you get used to it, it's tough now for me to go back sometimes and switch to my – I've got a Samsung, and, of course, I'm using that HTC too. I like it. I like those buttons on the back. The one issue, though, for me with the LG that I keep running into is – and it's, I'm sure it's not a device issue. It's just has to do with the Android. It's called, I think, ATP, the audio transmission protocol for Bluetooth, is not been standardized as rigorously as it should have been. And so for whatever reason, and I'll give all the deets here, is I've got a Volkswagen 2012 model Passat. It will not get from the LG all of the audio info that I want to get, the metadata, you know. So when I play Spotify, the song info doesn't come up. And when I play Pandora, no song. Now, notifications, like I mentioned earlier, I get notifications out of Facebook and my email and texts. Those show up on my screen on my car beautifully, you know. But the other stuff doesn't. So for me, because of the type of user I am, I know other people, they would never even know. They would never even find out. For me, this is like one of those where I'm just, every time, I'm like, oh, gosh, darn it, I want to know what song this is. And I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, that was, I guess, one thing I was going to ask is, so those are phones that I know are very available right now. But you brought in, and you are showing, you've got, and this is, and I'm going to let people know, this is Verizon exclusive. This is not a general market phone, but I had run into the info and description on us, and it just looks so, do you mind if I grab it and hold it?
Just don't be creeping through my
pants. Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. It's just getting a sense for the feel of it. So why don't you tell people what it is that I'm holding in my hands here? They can't see it. So
I was actually fortunate enough to be able to get the employee edition Droid Turbo, which is the newest phone from Motorola. It is one of their new flagship devices. It's a flagship device for Verizon. It is incredibly powerful. Right now, it's got one of the fastest processors out there. It's a 2.7 quad-core processor on it. There's two big things that really got me on it. I said it briefly the last time I was on the show. I still stand by it in terms of how I personally use the device. I like the Motorola feel. It just works for me. Mm-hmm. But the two biggest things that I love about this one is, first off, the battery life on it. When you compare the size of the battery to a lot of the other phones that are out there, most smartphones are going to be right around that 2,000 milliamp range, which just refers to how much juice the battery holds. This one has a 3,900 milliamp battery, so almost twice the size of the battery on it.
Wow.
A little bit thicker device, but I'll be working all day, like Black Friday when I was at the store, working all day, phone was just going nuts. I went home after a 15-hour shift, still had 60% battery.
Wow. Wow.
Just insane.
Yeah, yeah. And I've noticed that getting incrementally better with phones. You know, in the G3s, that's one thing that I would tout highly for the G3, is
yep.
that for the regular standard battery that comes with it, it lasts a good day. You know, I do not have problems with it. The form factor on this is a little bit thicker, as you said, because
yep.
of that battery life. But it also, too, does a rapid charge as well, right?
Yeah, it comes with what they call a turbocharger. Now, the turbocharger itself is something you can actually get separate, but you got to be careful on the devices you use with it, because it has to be quick charge enabled. But what's really cool about it with this particular device, plug it in for 15 minutes, there's 8 hours of battery life for
you. Wow, wow.
Yeah. Again, based on how you're going to use it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, very, very fast.
Still.
And it is something, so for mine, I've got it hooked up. I plug it in overnight, every night. And because it has basically a sensor that'll let you know when it's full, it won't overcharge the device.
Mm-hmm.
So this way you don't worry about damaging the battery on it.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing I really, really like about it, too, is the camera on it. Absolutely insane. It's a 21-megapixel camera.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh,
so,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That is insane.
Yeah, yeah. It comes in handy for everything from some of the camping trips I'm going to be taking next year to just setting up my little Charlie Brown Christmas tree the other
day.
There
you go. Yeah, absolutely. No, that's very cool. That is an insane amount. And then I saw, too, the screen definition. I was just flipping through your settings and stuff. What did it say? 2560 by 1440. I think that's better resolution than my my monitor for my PC.
Yeah, it's right now has one of the highest quality displays out there. It's a fantastic phone. I've had a hard time getting really, really excited about phones in the past, just because I'm surrounded by them all day. And, you know, I see, okay, this is a little bit better here, and this is a little bit better here. When I saw this thing come out, I was like, yep, it's mine. I gotta have it. I gotta have it.
Now, so what's like the killer app for this kind of phone, where it is a very high-end phone, obviously. There's a lot of things going on with it. In your mind, you know, if you were talking to somebody, what would they say that you would go, oh, this is the phone. You got to do this one. It's worth every penny for you.
Not so much the apps themselves, but how somebody's going to be using it.
Mm-hmm.
If you have somebody who uses so I have a work device and I have a personal device. Not everybody is like that, though. A lot of people, their personal device is their work device,
mm-hmm.
if they're running their own business or something like that. So if you have somebody who is going to be getting emails all day and having to pull things up, and maybe even having to do things like taking mobile payments on their phone using like the Square Reader or anything like that, where they're going to be using it a lot and having the screen on a lot, because the display being on is going to be the biggest drain on the battery.
Yep.
This would be the device to go with. You got the battery life. You got a good size screen on it. It's a 5.2-inch screen on the diagonal with it, so it's still going to be big enough where if somebody needs to sign on there with their finger, they can still
yep.
do it. But it's going to have that battery life to get you through the day, and then, again, depending on how you use it, maybe even the day after that.
Yeah,
so.
That's a really good point. I don't know why, but it had not occurred to me, really, to think about using now instead of tablets. I've seen tablets used quite extensively with, you know, the Square device or other credit card reading devices in order to be your point of sale yep. unit. But yeah, if you have a phone that can actually has the battery power and the juice to last you through all of that, and is rugged enough too for, mm-hmm. as you say, with, you know, signatures and everything else. Yeah, you know, pulling that thing out of your pocket, a lot easier than hauling around an iPad Air or one of the other devices that are out there that you see, like I said, that you see very frequently now. Yeah. I guess with the add-on with the Square device too, that would mean that if I'm paying, I could actually in fact use my NFC, my soft wallet, and things like that, mm-hmm. too, because the Square's added that capability, I believe, right? Yeah. So, wow, no, that's neat. That is neat. And that actually kind of brings around to the other sort of topic I wanted to get to today as well, is that not just shopping for our mobile devices, which of course is a big deal for a lot of people, but shopping with our mobile yep. devices. and I touched on this a little bit last week, but I was really interested to kind of talk with, and you're more involved with it, certainly on the actual, you know, day-to-day world of it, is what you're seeing people do with their phones in the stores. You know, we hear a lot about showrooming and other ways that you can, you know, make sure as a consumer that you're getting the best deal. Well, what kind of things are you seeing with that in the stores now?
So it's always important to be an intelligent consumer with things, but sometimes when people are trying to go down that direction, they stop short where they'll see something like, yep, that's going to be the way that I want to go, and they don't get into the fine print, the little nitty-gritty things that you really have to consider as well when you talk about the true overall cost of things. It is kind of nice, though, because it allows people to be able to compare things as well. I mean, things have been going on for years. When the first set of Android phones came out and you had the barcode scanners going out there, you saw people just going around. And they were doing everything from just price comparing to earning little points and everything mm-hmm, like that. Mm-hmm. But it gives people the ability to literally be anywhere. They could be on the train going into work and they could start working on their holiday shopping or anything like that, or just comparing different things or even creating a holiday list.
Yep.
It's kind of nice to be able to see that, you know, yet again, the mobile devices, whether it's a tablet, whether it's a phone or anything like that, are just a one-stop shop for everybody's needs.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's kind of even expanding beyond that as well is, of course, what you just talked about briefly, but also how the payment is going with it. You know, there's a lot of NFC technology that's out there with Apple Pay, with Google Wallet, and even like the SoftCart, which is something that we're partnered up with as well, that allow people to actually use that mobile device in a very secure way to make a payment at various different locations. At our location, we actually have all of our terminals actually have a spot where people can do that right there at checkout.
Cool.
And a lot of those apps have all sorts of promos in terms of additional savings for people as well. So it's not just shopping, it's couponing and shopping all in one spot.
Yep. Yeah. And that is very cool. I love, like, Google Wallet lets you do some of that as well. And the soft card, which is Verizon. You know, what you mentioned, you touched on something, and I'm a big fan of some specific apps and things that help with this. And one thing you mentioned is this, you know, ability to kind of create shopping lists and have lists and all that. Oh man, this is such a lifesaver for my family during the Christmas season, or at least for me personally. Anyways, I have a tough time getting everybody on my plan, you know. But for those that do, it worked. So I am a big fan of both Evernote and also Trello. And Trello, a lot of people have heard of Evernote, and it's really kind of a great place to capture a lot of information and things that you want. For lists, though, and listing of things, Trello is a fantastic web and mobile app that you can use. And so here's how I use it. I refer to my phone. Honestly, I do. I am, because I'm weird. I refer to my phone as Danny. I refer to my phone as my UCD, my ubiquitous capture device. It's yep. ubiquitous because it's always with me, and I can use it to capture anything that goes through my head at any time. And typically the way that I do that is with this app called Trello. And I have a board. You create boards, you create lists, anything you want to do with it. And so I have a list that's there always, all the time, that is specifically presents for people. And so, you know, if you and I are chatting and you mentioned to me, gosh, you know, I always wanted one of those, one of those ties with all the ones and zeros on it that it says in binary, I hate ties. You know, I wouldn't say anything to you about it, but it would go on my list. And then I'm out, I'm shopping, I'm at a store, and I see one of those ties, you know, or I'm just thinking about what am I going to do? What am I going to get for Joe? I don't even know what to get for Joe. I look up, oh, yeah, that's right. He said, you know, this is 6 months ago. He said he wanted one of these ties. I can pull it. I love stuff like that. I see that in use a lot, I think, from people. A lot of the, online shopping sites do have their own built-in wish lists and other things that you can make, too. But then you kind of get locked in, you know, with that, only what they have available and all that.
Yeah. I've gotten hooked recently on Google Keep. Just because I didn't really like the note-taking app that it came with it, so I decided to use that. And especially because I have an Android tablet as well, it syncs beautifully. And even when I got my new phone, it took everything from the previous phone, shot it right over to there, and it was just beautiful. But you know what the next evolution on that is, right? With the gift list, as soon as you go into the store, you get a notification saying, hey, you need to buy this for Joe. Get that binary tie for him.
Yeah, you know that. I want that. That's what I need. That's exactly what I need. But, of course, you know, and people are going to freak out when that happens. Like, how do you know what I got in my pocket? Yeah, you
that'll
know,
be my tech forecast for January 2015.
No, I think we are going to see more of that. Absolutely, a lot of location specific and just sort of things happening as you come into an area based upon other preferences that you've already set, and some of that's happening already. Another app people may not have heard of for the holidays here, talking about showrooming, is one called Retail Me Not, and that's an app that you put on your phone, and if you give it the authority to, it will use your location and it will alert you when you're in a shopping area that has a specific deal or discount going on, or you can pull it up and say, show me nearby stores that have discounts going, some of which are specific only to the Retail Me Not app, others which are available generally, and some which are, you know, you might be at like a Best Buy and looking at stuff, and then Retail Me Not, you look on that and it says, hey, did you know if you bought this online at Best Buy, they'll give you an extra 5% off. Oh. So, and that has happened to me now a couple times. And that was one thing we talked about just before we came on, too. Oh, shoot. Oh, my gosh. I just looked at the time. I see Robbie Rigel. Rob shot first. He's getting anxious. I'm not going to talk about anything else. I'm sorry. So, Joe, the one thing I got to do with you before we leave, other than just thanking you tremendously for the wealth of information and hopefully helping people sort of narrow down their choices, not just for the wireless devices but for other stuff, is when people are looking to try and make some decisions about their devices or to see what's available out there, what, you know, I know there's some cool new stores that they can go to for Verizon.
Absolutely.
If you could just mention locations on that, and then also if they don't have time to get downtown or to some of the other locations where these great stores are, what would be the best website to go to get more information?
You got it. Yeah, so some of the local things here is we actually have some really nice new design stores at the Woodfield Mall location and at Lake in the Hills. And then, of course, our destination store, which is right on the Magnificent Mile. A great locations to go. They're really going to showcase all the things that make your smartphone smart. Of course, if anybody is looking for deals, best place, of course, that I can always recommend is VerizonWireless.com.
Absolutely. Very, very cool. Well, Joe, I got to cut us out. Rob is chomping at the bit. He's got a lot to talk about.
How good are your clock apps?
They tell the time very efficiently.
I need a couple new ones of those. I'm gonna leave us with a little. I know Rob is a bit of a rocker, so he's got a little metal in him. He does. So I'm giving you some Christmas rock here, some Christmas metal. This is in the spirit of I Am Iron Man, but it's I Am Santa Claus. I'm going to kick us out with that. And you've been listening to Tech Talk on WRLR 98.3 LPFM in Round Lake Heights, Illinois. Shouts out again to Joe Otto and Verizon Wireless. Thanks for all your advice and help. And we'll be talking to you again, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me again. I appreciate it.
Have a great week, Joe. And I am Santa Claus. We'll be right back.
Oh.